Also, Brandon let out a fart.
Yeah, it's real bad.
Do you smell it?
I just had a delicious pizza, though, so it was worth it.
What kind of pizza?
It was from Papa Murphy's. It was, it had, like, it didn't have sauce. It had some kind of, like oil and herb,
like
as,
vinegar
as the base. Yeah,
vinegar. How are you going to get a pizza without sauce?
You just had a sandwich that was named after pizza, you idiot.
Dude, because it had pizza sauce on it.
You need to broaden your, you need to open up your mind.
Fucking Dylan's sandwich had more sauce than this guy's pizza.
Absolutely.
So there's a problem.
The sauce bouse.
But I had lots of cheese, it had chicken, it had spinach.
Also, you had to cook it yourself in the oven because it's a fucking stupid restaurant
exactly.
chain.
Exactly.
Dude, it's so good, though.
Yeah, sure. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Horrible Podcast, where we like to bring you a uniquely based
value. Brought to you by Papa Murphy's.
On horror movies. This is our
third episode, guys.
We've gotten real good since the first two. Third listener submitted episode through our Patreon episodes, which I'm going to have to talk about a little bit, and I can't wait. But that means our listeners have given us movies to listen to. Listen to?
Oh, wait, were we supposed to watch them too?
Oh, fuck.
Damn it.
I think we were supposed to watch them.
We did it all on mute for some reason. It's weird. No, we're going to watch, we did watch The Perfect Toast, Unrest, and The Omen. These came from three respective and respecting listeners.
Respectful, too, because they
and
were
respectful.
Interesting picks.
And we'll talk about how that works in a second, but those are the movies we're going to talk about. I'm Devin here with the co-hosts, per norm, per usual. What's up, Bluester? You're on your phone. What's important? What's more important right now than what we're doing?
Oh, shit, called out.
Ooh.
Wow, dude, shots fired. I was looking at all the movies and reviewing them to make sure I'm ready for the show.
Yeah,
to make sure you have something to say about it.
That's a new thing. Usually you do this unplugged.
Jesus. Well, I mean, you guys know that I have a bad memory. I have the memory of like an unborn child. I just have a soft poo-poo brain, and so I forget a lot of the details.
Okay, man.
I got to make sure I'm ready.
Are you ready tonight?
I'm fucking ready. I just had a delicious dinner. I just watched it.
Yeah, you had that sauceless pizza.
I just watched a movie with my boys. Okay, listeners, I need you all to tweet at us and let us know that sauceless pizzas is not weird. The thing is like, you have a sauce. It's just not fucking pizza sauce. Dylan, you need to broaden your horizons, buddy.
I refuse.
Dylan,
you can put barbecue.
I'm a pizza purist.
You can put ranch.
I'm a pizza purist.
What's up, Dylan?
I don't want to get into this pizza semantics argument with Blitzer here, but I do think that it needs to have sauce, marinara, preferably. I don't know what's happening in my voice. God damn, I'm getting punny pulled again. But no, I'm excited to watch some... wait, no, I already watched them. I'm excited to talk about.
Hey, Manton, man, how you doing, buddy?
I'm pretty good. I just want to point out that Brandon actually told me what kind of pizza to get a few days ago. He told me to get chicken, spinach. I was a little drunk. What was the sauce I ended up getting?
It was like some kind of Parmesan.
It was amazing, dude. Sauce. It blew my mind. So I just want to say my vote's in with Brandon. It does not need marinara because this pizza was fire.
I was a pizza delivery expert and also a pizza artisan. So.
Well, we need tie-breaking votes, so please tweet us with a little bit of sense, some common sense.
What's the tweet about? Is it have to do with Papa Murphy's? Is it Murphy's or Murphy's?
Hashtag Papa No Sauce.
Seriously.
Or hashtag Papa
hashtag
Sauce.
Hashtag Sauce Boss, please.
Hashtag Sauce Boss. Hashtag No Sauce.
Sauce
hashtag
Boss
yes
is already
sauce.
A thing.
Is it?
That's a YouTube channel, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is?
It's Epic Mealtime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Sorry Dylan.
Don't do
Fuck.
That.
Notable for being
copyright to the respective owners.
In Kevin Smith films now, done with the fucking dude.
What?
From Epic
that
Meal Time.
Dumbass from Tusk.
Oh,
yeah, he's in Tusk as the Canadian dude. He's also in the... Oh, wait, you guys
Yoga
didn't see
Hosers?
It.
Have you
did
seen
you
it?
See it?
No, I heard Yoga Hosers is awful.
I'm sure
I have
is.
No desire
but no,
to
he's
see
in
that.
He's in Holidays, which is the short anthology with Kevin Smith and Kevin Kelce and Dennis Widmeyer.
Yeah, we talked about it a little last
Are
episode.
Are we ever going to watch that?
I watched it.
We'll watch it later.
But he's in Kevin Smith's short, and it's what you would expect from those guys.
I'll tell you what else is in Kevin Smith's shorts?
Oh, a tiny one.
A tiny one.
A tiny one.
Oh no! Let's move it along.
What were we talking about? Okay, first off, the most important thing is we're on Patreon, and the reason that's pertinent right now is this is our Patreon episode, essentially our third one, and the way that works. Is you can subscribe to us. You can try to support us financially because
you
we need.
Try.
You can try, but it's not going to do much. No, we could use more equipment, and we gotta pay for hosting and shit like that. We're already in the hole a bit. That was what we talked about before we started even recording.
Did you just giggle at the word hole?
No.
It's just it's funny that we were just discussing.
We were just discussing. Were, yeah. We were like, well, how much do we owe? Oh, fuck. But the way it works is you subscribe monthly, and you can pay anywhere from literally a dollar to whatever you want to pay. But if you pay $6.66 a month, you will be put on a queue to put a movie in that we will review. So it's a personal movie choice. It's from one person. And we have three today from three respective listeners.
A lot of respect in this episode.
A lot of respect.
A lot of respect.
Respect. So, yes, thank you guys. We'll mention who did that and who like provided each movie today. But that's how it works. If you want to make us watch a movie, if it's one of your favorite movies or one that you want us to suffer through, and like a really shitty one.
Rats, Night of Terror.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's how you do it. Go to patreon.com/horriblepodcast. You know how that works. But we'll get into that later. We also are on email and Twitter, horriblepodcast@gmail.com and @horriblecast. Those are the best way to reach us. And we have an email today we'll start off with.
Hey.
The email today, I think, is from Cobra.
Again, Commander?
Yeah. Cobra from Just Another Horror Podcast.
Ooh.
And we've been kind of talking back and forth a little bit through email. First off, he brought up Pontypool and stuff, mm-hmm. and he mentioned his issues with it. And I didn't think we need to get too much back into that.
I just want to say you're wrong. You're wrong.
I mean, I'm sure there's reasons people would not like it. But anyway, it's his email I got in. I wrote in a few weeks ago and told you boys that I'd find you a gem of a slasher. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What I came up with is 1987's Blood Diner.
Never heard of it.
Okay.
Mm. He said, not sure if it's a true slasher, but you will not forget the movie and you're done with it.
Dylan, you look blown away.
Yes. Finally, thank you. There's been a movie that I saw on like late night cable one time, and I've been trying to place the name of it for years. Fuck me, I think it's this one.
It might be. He said it's a nod to Herschel Gordon Lewis's 1963 movie Blood Feast with a cheesy 80s feel. You will either love it or never read my emails again. As always,
I like that.
Thank you guys for making Wednesdays enjoyable. You don't have to read this part aloud. I'm not trying to plug your show, but I don't give a shit, by the way, Cobra. But he says, I remember Josh Myers asked about podcasts that we liked last week. And he said, if you're looking for another horror comedy podcast, tell him to check out Just Another Horror Podcast.
Fuck yeah, man.
We're a family here. I like to plug other. We plugged podcasts last week. But he said, I noticed our podcast talks about the same generational shit like Boy Meets World and what have you.
Only 90s kids will remember.
Oh, boy.
He just said, are you guys around 30 years old? And that's an email from Cobra.
Fuck.
We're inching closer.
Yeah, but I told him, I emailed him back. But, yeah, we're all 27 and 28. No, we're all 28 now.
I'm
27.
You and I aren't 28.
No,
Dylan.
Wait, you're 28. How old are you, Dylan?
I'm 28.
Okay, so the rest of us
we're
are 27.
Okay.
Fuck you, Dylan.
Fuck you.
Oh, hey.
But yeah, basically we're all...
Who let the dad on
we're,
the
we're,
cast?
We're inching closer to that 30-year-old landmark.
One step closer to the grave is all I got to say. But thank you also for... Because I think Blood Diner is the one that I'm thinking of. And if so, you've just solved one of those like tip-of-my-tongue movies that I've been thinking about for years. Fuck, we got to watch that one.
Absolutely. Yeah, I guess that is why you'll hear us mention some dumbass references that would be only 90s kids or older type thing.
What can we say? We're 90s kids.
I guess so. But thanks for the email. And yeah, I mean, fuck it. If you guys are trying to binge on some podcasts, listen to the
hell yeah,
the more loose, relaxed horror podcast, check out Just Another Horror Movie Podcast. We're part of a family again, and I have no problem plugging anybody. We've been plugged by bigger podcasts than ourselves. We've been plugged by, oh boy.
I'll plug family. I'll plug friends. I'll plug strangers.
I'll plug family.
Were you trying to feed Blister something?
Why did you start with family? You had a good joke.
I know,
going.
That's fucked up.
You start with the friends, then the lovers, and then you go to family.
I go straight to the punchline.
We have been plugged by the one that got me inspired to podcast.
I can't.
Stop. God damn it. Oh boy. We got a movie to talk about.
Okay.
But thank God, get us back on the rails.
We're paying that forward. We like our podcast brothers in the horror community. But now we're going to talk about our brothers in our listener base who have given us these wonderful, wonderful movies to watch. And the first one is called The Perfect Host, a recent film. And I'm going to give the synopsis over to Blutster. And I want Blutster, of course, to... give thanks to the person who suggested this film and then give us a synopsis and we'll talk about it.
Absolutely. So the Perfect Host is brought to us thanks to a Dracula. This movie is... That's just how it is.
I think it's a Dracula. Like
a Dracula.
A
singular Dracula.
The first name starts with A.
One of them.
Wait, really?
A Dracula.
A Dracula?
A Dracula.
Who is the... Who?
It's a la carte Dracula.
I prefer Ejacula. But anyway, so this is the Perfect Host from 2010. And I'm going to preface this review by saying that this is a movie that is, it reminds me, it reminds me of kind of The Invitation. It's very, very secretive, and I feel like a lot of the elements of this movie that are good are supposed to be kept secret, so I'm going to do my best not to spoil anything. So I'm going to give a very, very vague introduction, but basically we start out with a young man. He looks like he's in his like late 20s, early 30s, and he is clearly running from something. He's injured, and we find out that he is wanted for like a bank heist. He robbed a bank, escaped with the money, and he's just trying to like kind of like hide out and meet up with like I guess his cousin. So he's just walking through random neighborhoods trying to find a way to I guess stow himself away until he can get a hold of one of his friends and escape. And so basically he runs into a wealthy neighborhood and he starts just kind of knocking on doors, and eventually he's led into one man's house and he kind of ends up crashing his dinner party, and that's where we're at. So that's all I'm going to say as far as the introduction. What do you guys think?
It's important. You really can't give away too much of this.
It kind of stinks, but yeah.
This movie is riddled with twists and turns. Yeah, it is. So it is hard to give us too deep of a synopsis. But yeah, no, this guy's he's a felon. He robbed a bank. What he did was he kind of raided this random dude's post off fucking mailbox. And found a postcard, and it was addressed from,
I think it was to Julia from Australia.
From Sydney, Australia. So his whole like excuse was, hey, I'm a friend of Julia's, let me in. The guy was hesitant at first, single man. We have no idea of his backstory.
Exactly.
But eventually the guy cracks and says, all right, even though I'm having a dinner party, I'll let you in. So our protagonist, I guess if you want to call him that, John Taylor, feels like he's like, yes, I've done it. Like, I've been welcomed in. I have somewhere to hide out and figure shit out.
Right.
And he tries to take over the situation.
And of course,
there are some things that happen that kind of change the situation back and forth.
Do they ever?
Well, one thing I want to say is that, like, a lot of times movies try to have this tension where there's things that the audience knows that maybe other people don't. But he's in this house talking to this guy, and this guy that's hosting this dinner party is just bizarre. Like, the way he moves and the way he talks, like, we don't trust him, and we also have this weird relationship to our main guy. And so I was extremely unnerved the whole time.
You don't know
time.
Who to trust.
Exactly. Yeah. I was extremely unnerved the entire time they were talking.
We have to mention who the guy is.
Okay, his name is Warwick, and it is David Hyde Pierce. Notable from Frasier, of course. And he's also
Little Boy.
Yeah, Wet Hot American Summer.
I did not know that.
Yes. He's a very, very iconic actor, especially, I would say, mostly famous of Frasier.
Yeah. Well, I would say it's well-deserved. I mean, the guy.
Yeah. He carries the show.
He is fantastic.
He's unbelievable.
It's really cool seeing their interaction in the beginning because you kind of get the sense that maybe David Hyde Pierce's character knows that he's lying, and he's like constantly trying to get him to give him details and stuff. Yeah. And so you're watching John Taylor make up all this shit. And there's a lot of really good back and forth. And like Brandon said, tension's a good word because you don't know what to expect from either one of them.
You're waiting for the other shoe to drop. You just don't know which angle it's going to come from.
Exactly.
And that's a really kind of riveting for the beginning because it's only two characters for the majority of this movie.
Yeah. It's very dependent on them.
I got to say, both of them are really strong. Like, I love David Hyde Pierce in this, but I think his name's Clem Crawford.
Yes.
He's really good, the guy who plays
protagonist. I think he's very impressive. But I'm going to go ahead and say this. I think we can expound on this a little bit considering how the trailer explains the movie. What happens is we have a fugitive trying to hide out in somebody's house. He finds a random victim who we think should be the victim, but it turns out this host may be more nefarious than the actual guy who is the felon, the robber. So this host has other intentions, and it turns into this thing of like, who should I be more afraid of? He just wants to have a dinner party, and he just wants John Taylor, our felon, to be a part of it. But both these guys are fucked up in different ways, and it's like, who's more fucked up? That's kind of what we're dealing with.
And that kind of leads into, I actually think very highly of this movie, I'll be honest, but there's one critique that after the movie wrapped up, like Devin mentioned, there's lots of twists and turns. This movie gets very, you will not predict some of the shit that's going to happen. It's going to be very confusing for a while.
And I don't know if that's a good thing in this case.
Yeah.
It's just part of it. But one thing I'll say is that we realized lots of things were meant to happen in this movie, and there's the only thing that really stuck out to me as a question is how these two met, because it was very happenstance and random at the beginning, but later on we feel like maybe this was somehow formulated, and that's like
I didn't get that
idea. I don't think it was supposed to be formulated. No. And
maybe
maybe
it's just me.
And I think that's to the detriment of this movie.
But the problem is, I think like this movie has a lot of twists, which twists are a risky business in movies.
Thanks, M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, well, M. Night Shyamalan, like, he made a career of them, and for the first couple of movies, that did a really good,
and then it ruined him.
Like,
it buried him.
Twists are tough, because if the audience feels that they've been taken advantage of, or that it wasn't deserved, then they're not going to react pretty well. Now, this movie has, I'd say, it has multiple twists, but it has two major ones, and I think the first one is phenomenal. Yep. I love the first twist in this movie. I was cracking up when it first started.
Yeah.
This movie has a lot of good humor.
Yeah. And then the second one...
Yes.
Not so much.
Exactly. And I want to talk about what I thought about. There's a lot of people who will watch this movie and they will hate it, and I will completely get it because they will feel like they're being taken advantage of. This is a movie where you kind of have to suspend your disbelief more than most. I just had to sit back and just say, I'm going to accept it and enjoy the movie for what it's telling me. And if you do that, I think you will enjoy it. I don't think you can pick this one apart.
So, Devin, like, I want to kind of go off that. I mean, this movie does have a lot of things that it expects you to believe. And I think that if you look at this movie and try to critically analyze it, it's going to kind of fall apart. And I think you're going to lose some of, like, the enjoyment. But for me, I remember Manton walked in the room while I was watching it, and he was just like, oh, this movie kind of looks like shit. But I was like, I don't think that's fair, because when I first started watching this movie, I was very engaged. And I don't know why. I was, like, just following this guy. What is he doing? Why is he running? And... like, it kind of keeps that grip as the movie goes on. And so once we start twisting things, I'm already along for the ride. I'm not trying to, like, dissect it, you know?
I think part of the reason that that beginning works so well is because it's really simple. When the movie is focused specifically on John Taylor and on Warwick, it's really, really strong because they have a really good dynamic between the two of them. They're very strong actors. When it goes a little bit further with one of the later twists, it starts getting into some weird territory. Definitely. And not, like, weird, just, like, normally weird. It's hard to explain.
It is, yeah.
Brandon mentioned that I walked in at a certain point when he was watching it. I said it looked like shit at first, because the very first thing that I saw was there's a thing that happens in the beginning where John Taylor headbutts a guy, and it looked like they barely connected. And two, I wasn't wearing my glasses, and it looked really shitty.
So yeah, everything's going to.
To the movie's credit, like, once I sat down and started watching it, like, that scene to me still felt a tiny bit odd, but no, like, I agree with you guys. I think that it really hooked me from the start.
Yeah,
I think it looks good.
If we're kind of talking on critiques, I did kind of feel one thing, and I don't even know if this is very fair of me, but I feel like this movie is kind of by the numbers. Now that I've seen a few movies that are like this, we could mention Your Next, Creep, The Invitation, movies where, like, the guests come in, but maybe the host has something weird going, like, you know.
Sure.
I feel like a lot of these movies, it's become sort of by the numbers. To be fair, this movie came out in 2010, so I don't know, a lot of these movies that I've mentioned came out after.
Yeah, and I wouldn't feel by the numbers. Next. And but I think it's a popular
maybe just in the sense of the synopsis. Tables turning.
It's becoming a bit of a trope.
I think The Collector is actually probably the best comparison. The Collector is about a dude who's trying to rob a wealthy family to pay off some of his debt. Mm-hmm. And when he comes in, the family's being tortured by a fucked up nefarious like villain dude, and he has to decide whether to just be like, well, I'm fucking out of here, or because he likes the family, he like works for the family as like a fucking constructor or something. So his decision is, do I help this family or do I just get the fuck out of here? But anyway, I think that's one of the first to do it. That would be like the mid-2000s. It's probably a million of them. But yeah, I get your point.
Yeah, I feel like it's definitely becoming a trope. But I don't know. I feel like they did it well enough, and I was pretty gripped.
This movie has really good humor. I think that that's one thing that kind of sets it apart.
And that's where I got to argue with it on that, Manton, is that I think that the humor does enough to set it apart. True. That I was like, I've never seen something exactly like this.
Yeah, it keeps it lighthearted.
And for the record, I might as well go in and say, like, this might not really be a horror movie. This is more on the thriller comedy, like, a very cheeky, almost like a British-type movie. Where it's gonna have its like tension and its thrilling moments,
and it does a good job of all of those things.
It has a nice healthy marriage with some comedic elements as well.
I think the beginning,
but it's not a horror movie. It's not.
I'll give you that, but I think at the beginning it's tense enough and scary for sure. Enough for the audience. I think they probably changed gears a little bit later.
In a similar way that like something like The Invitation is, right? Where for a very long time you're like, what's going? Is what kind of movie is this?
It's like, just this weird kind of. It's like.
But the Invitation has zero elements of comedy. It's just purely torture.
This one,
and
I think
painful.
Though, I think this one just juggles that comedic element really well. And in fact, when they introduce it, like, I was laughing not because like I was laughing at the movie, but because I was laughing with it. I was laughing at everything it wanted me to laugh at.
And it's very uncomfortable.
And it works on a really, really clever, like, visual gag that they keep using over and over. And fuck me if it doesn't just keep working. Like, I think they master it.
They do it well. It's, I think that this movie, like, doesn't have a lot of pieces in it, but it uses them well, which is good.
Sorry.
I was just going to say, the only other critique I have for this movie is, I don't know if it was just me, but in the middle of the movie, I started to lose a little bit of interest. Like, once things start twisting and turning, you're kind of like, okay, I know what's going on.
Yeah.
And they kind of, I don't know, I feel like they overstay their welcome.
When the focus widens, it widens too much, and it kind of brings you into stuff that you didn't really care about. Right. And so it's a little harder to follow.
It's a minor critique. It's interesting and it's cool to watch, but you're like, okay, you know, I got it.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off.
It's all you, buddy.
Thank you. You said overstays its welcome, and now I'm starting to wonder which two twists Dylan referred to earlier in the episode, because to me,
I guess there's like three,
there's quite
really,
a few, and that's one of its major faults, in my opinion. Not that this movie's super faulted, but there are some issues with it, in my opinion. And the twist that I'm thinking about comes at towards the end, which I think the last 30 minutes in general could have been cut out.
I would have to agree.
Like, I think it was a perfect little capsule of a film in a thriller. And then once they kind of move from the setting that we are given in the first place, I'm like, man, just keep it there and end it.
The problem is the twist that it introduces is pretty clever, and it's actually like, whoa. Like, but it doesn't really operate on anything we've been given before.
Exactly.
It's kind of a brand new twist out of nowhere.
I think the problem is that it doesn't enhance anything we've seen already.
It's just something
new. I think that a good twist, you should be able to be like, holy fuck, I want to go back and rewatch that so I can see what this change is.
I also want to make the point that a good twist is not one where you say, where literally nobody in the world could predict, or that's just too silly. A good twist is one that's not super predictable, but also not completely out of this world.
Right.
The one that happens towards the end is just like, come on. Like, nobody should predict that.
I'm going to spoil it. He's an alien.
Yep. Oh, damn it.
Right?
He's been dead since the beginning of the movie.
This is actually, no, I was going to say Men in Black, like, 8.
The twist is just too convenient. I don't like it. Yeah. And I think the movie could have ended 20 minutes prematurely.
I would tend to agree.
And prematurely is not the right word. I think it should have been ended at that point. But I mean, otherwise, yeah.
At the same time, though, I'm not mad at seeing more David Hyde Pierce.
Like, yes.
He's fucking great in this
movie. He carries the fucking movie. And I guess we
let's review it.
Yeah, I figured you wanted to review it. So, Manton, I'm going to give it right to you.
I like this movie quite a bit. I think it definitely is similar to things like Invitation, maybe not in tone.
Right.
But you do kind of know what you're getting into. And having seen a lot of these movies, I kind of knew the plot beats that we were going to get into. I would say that the later half of the movie didn't bother me as much maybe as you guys, but it did seem a little too contrived for my liking. Overall, though, this is a pretty fun movie. There's a great dance number. There's all kinds of goofy shit, but there's also a lot of very thick tension. I think when this movie started, the title bump for this movie looks terrible.
It really does.
Like, the font looks like fucking Comic Sans or something. It looks awful. But don't let that deter you. This movie is pretty good. I'm gonna give it a solid gem. I enjoyed it.
Oh. Sorry.
Yeah, who's it going to be?
I don't know. I was hoping someone would just jump right in, but
it's because I get the perfect review.
That was pretty good, man. We should cut the podcast off right now. I don't know what to do. Bloodster.
I mean, you've heard me talk about this. This movie's not perfect. Manton said it. It's paint by numbers. I feel like there's a lot of things that you're just going to predict in this movie. Maybe not a lot of the major twists. And a lot of these twists and turns, you know, they're a little, I don't know, they don't feel that great. But all that aside, I think this movie is very fun. And when I finished it, I felt great. I felt like that was a fun watch. It's on Netflix. I didn't have to fucking hunt this movie down, put it on. It's in high quality. And like, from the moment I started playing it, I was already engaged, and I can't give that to a lot of movies. So I'm going to give this a solid gem. This movie has flaws, but just watching these two actors on screen is fun enough for me. So I liked it a lot, actually.
The fact that we keep mentioning it's on Netflix as a pro for the movie is so funny to me.
But the thing is,
it's so convenient.
I know. We have built that into our podcast. Like, if a movie's on Netflix, it might be a Netflix gem, which means don't go out of your fucking way. But if you can watch it for free.
I think this is almost beyond a Netflix gem.
This is better than a Netflix gem.
Oh, yeah,
it is. And I will use that for my kicking off point for my review. This movie's better than just a Netflix gem, which, again, means it's good if you have Netflix and it's free. Yes, it means essentially. But this one's better than that. I think you should seek this one out, especially if you have Netflix. That's more of a reason that you should watch it.
Then you have no excuse.
Exactly, you have no excuse. And again, David Hyde Pierce, that's his name, he carries the fucking movie. He steals the show, and that's not to discredit our other actor who plays John Taylor, But man, it is really, really, it's a fun spectacle to watch David Hyde Pierce, especially because I hadn't really seen him in anything since like Wet Hot American Summer recently.
Oh, fuck my dick.
So it was, yes, fuck my cock. So I hadn't seen him in a while, so it was a nice treat. I was like, oh, there he is. And he has not lost any kind of fucking momentum. He's a good fucking actor, and he is a creepy motherfucker. He's macabre, yeah. And he's funny as shit. He does this perfect little fucking character, yeah. All in one. Fun little movie. It can be easily picked apart with questions. There's all kinds of things involving things from chess to whatever. It's just like, well, this is all too convenient. But don't go into it with that mindset. Just fucking watch it. And if you don't question it too much, you'll enjoy it. So it's a gem from me. And it's on Netflix, so that makes it even more of a better reason to watch it. I'll give it over to, who's the last person, Dylan?
Yeah, I think this one is just a cheeky little bit of fun. And I think, like, I was kind of not sure what to make of it early on. And then as soon as it takes the first twist, I was like, fuck yeah. Like, I was totally on board. I really like where this movie goes for about its kind of second, third, I think is incredibly strong. It gets a little weaker toward the end, but at that point, I enjoyed the first part so much that I didn't care at all. So, right. Like, it's absolutely a gem. I think you should seek it out. Even if you've got Netflix, you got no excuse. Cool little movie.
Yeah, sure. That is The Perfect Host. Good film. That's four gems, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about another film from another great loyal listener and patron of ours. It's called Unrest from 2006. I am having a stroke. 2006, and I'm going to hand this one over to Manton to give us a synopsis and give us some gratitude for who
where it is
chose
due.
This one.
Yeah, this is Unrest from 2006.
thank you.
This was requested by Chris, a.k.a. Metal is Life. Thanks, buddy. We appreciate the request. So I'm going to do my best here. This movie stars our main character, Allison Blanchard, something like that.
I think Blanchard is more appropriate.
Blanchard.
She's just like a nobody.
Well, she's not quite a nobody. Yeah, we'll get to that. So yeah, she looks a lot like Britney Spears. We commented on that a lot during the watch. She is like a medical student. She's applying for some sort of position at a hospital. She has nowhere to stay, so she's staying in the hospital, which is a little strange.
Super weird.
Not sure that happens in real life, probably not. Anyway, so she's a bit squeamish when it comes to dead bodies. We have her with a couple of other people. They're dissecting a body. She immediately just vomits all over herself, passes out. Understandable, honestly, I would too. But we come to find out that this body has something involved with it that is I don't know where I'm going with this.
It's a spooked body.
I swear to you guys,
it's got
like
a spooky ghost in it.
I'm trying, but I was so confused while watching this movie. And I don't know if it was just me. Anyway, so there's some kind of spirit. We find out that there's a spirit haunting this body, and it's making some bad things happen.
There you go.
One of our douchey characters,
Josh Fartnett.
Yeah, his girlfriend gets killed, and there's all kinds of these weird occurrences happening, and they're trying to figure out what's going on.
There you go. I think sometimes you try to overdo the synopsis. Like, if you go to fucking IMDb,
it'll be
two sentences.
You give me the most. I could give you a very concise synopsis of the.
No, I literally would have said you have a fucking person studying cadavers, and then fucking weird spooky shit starts happening, and then I would just start it off. That's it.
The thing is, man, it's not like we're giving you hard ones. Like, when we give you the easy movies, you do the same thing.
Exactly. You talk too much. Just fucking.
This movie confuses shit out of me.
That is fair.
It is.
I think we can all agree that Manton has a point. This movie is hard to follow, as simple as the premise is.
Yeah.
It's hard to follow, right. And I think that's to the fault of the movie.
And I hate to start out with such a negative, because there are a lot of positives.
Well,
here.
And that's actually what I want to talk about. Like, going into this movie, I knew nothing about this one. I hadn't ever heard of this.
It's
one of the, which film?
Horror something?
Films to Die For, I think.
Horror. No, it was like After Dark
After
Film
Dark,
Fest
yeah.
or
it's
something.
It's one of the Film Fest ones, which, you know, they give like a small budget to up-and-coming directors, and they're like, here, do something. And for that, like for the budget, this movie's pretty impressive. Like, a lot of the special effects are fucking revolting
in a good way.
Body effects and stuff. The acting's fairly strong. Like,
it
I
is.
Was surprised.
I will say that, like, before our main plot line starts, we have these two guys that are kind of dissecting a body, and I don't really know exactly what they're doing. They're putting it in this weird tub or whatever. all the dialogue and all that shit there was kind of weird. And, and then
the guy doesn't know how to take a shower, and he takes a shower with his scrubs on and no water on. You know?
But that is so weird. So weird. Right after that, we cut to the credit sequence, which honestly,
can I just say
one of the best parts of the movie? I was really surprised like how classy it is. The music is very, very, very good. Presentation-wise, this movie is very good, like beyond its scope, I would say.
It's weird. One thing I want to say, I don't know if you all agree, but that opening sequence to me was like awesome. Then the credits were really good. And then when the movie started, it felt like it slowed down or someone else was directing it.
Yeah. A little bit.
Not because it's bad, but I just feel like the beginning was very interesting.
This movie does take a while to sort of like warm up to you, I would say.
Yeah,
definitely. I think we were all in, we thought we were in for something way worse than what we got.
See, what I thought I was in for is basically like a walking corpse killing people movie, which is not what this one is. But then again, I can't tell you what this movie is. Like,
it's about spirits.
It's very unique.
It is. Yeah. And that's not a bad thing necessarily. Like, I'm just confused by this movie. And I'm confused as to, like, I don't know going into this one. I have no idea if I'm going to give this a gem or a stinker.
Well, holistically,
I got to find out.
What's confusing for me in this film is that holistically, this movie, I can't say is good, but the parts. If you were to part it out, like there's so many good aspects of it. It's really bizarre.
If you were to dissect this like a body,
Yeah. So for whatever reason, like if you think about all the aspects individualistically, you would say, yeah, that's good. That was good. Wait, the acting was good. Whoa, the practical effects were good.
So but why am I confused?
As a whole, you're like, wait, what? They don't fit.
So like we have to parse this out. Is this movie actually good, or is it just way better than we were expecting it to be?
Way better than we were expecting for sure.
See, but I kept coming back to you guys remember Frankenstein versus the Mummy?
Yeah.
The one that I was really surprised that I liked.
Yeah,
and
I did too.
There are some similarities with that one. Yeah. This one in that like the acting's good, the effects are good, like wait, this is better than I thought it was.
Yes.
Which might have had something to do with why I liked that one so much. And this one has some of the same problems that I think that one does too. But yeah. I'm still, like, I'm torn. I don't know what to think.
I think that, like, for me, one of the most important things in a film period, like horror or otherwise, is characters, character growth, like, interaction between characters. And I gotta say, this movie, I think, does it pretty well.
Yeah,
our lead, Allison, I think, is quite likable. At first, I wasn't sold on her, but as we sort of go through the movie, I think she's legitimately pretty cool.
Yeah.
And her interactions with the guy, I couldn't remember his fucking name.
Cryan Reynolds.
Generic guy.
Cryan Reynolds or Josh Fartnett. I don't remember the other people.
And Jessica Alba's brother.
Jessica Alba's brother.
Yeah, his name is
literally Jessica Alba's brother.
I'm sorry.
We had a couple others. Shitney Spears, I don't know. But anyway. But no, legitimately, our two leads are pretty cool and likable. And their chemistry feels pretty legitimate too, which is like,
right.
Normally when I watch these movies, I'm like, you guys don't like each other.
You're doing this.
This doesn't work.
This.
Yeah. But these people do act very, very well.
And it's kind of like a natural progression. They're like, hey, you know, what are you studying? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, hey, random flirting.
And they're study buddies with benefits.
It evolves very naturally. It feels very natural.
But at the same time, it also, like, there's also a lot of weird, it feels like there's steps that are missing in this movie.
I think a lot of the things that are done well, like the characters, are undermined by the fact that the main story is not set up very well at the beginning.
No.
We immediately just see some goofy guys playing with bodies, then people dissecting bodies, and then, oh wait, this is actually demons and stuff.
It is actually set up really well for a like cursed corpse or like walking corpse movie. It's set up very well for that at the beginning, and then that's not at all what it becomes. And it's confusing where that kind of falls apart, where it decides to become, I'm going to go ahead and say it, like an Aztec possession movie? Where the fuck does that come from?
If you guys remember at the very beginning of the movie, it starts out with a woman in a padded room or like a cell, and she's like cutting
herself. The opening is good.
It's
really
good,
really good.
But I think that they should have taken that time to set up some kind of something about the history of what we're going to talk about.
I think one of the
problems there is that, like, she's obviously like in some kind of trance. But they don't acknowledge that it's some kind of like demonic or ritualistic thing
but
at all.
But the music does.
As we watch it, we could have easily just assumed she was a possessed ghost or something, which they could have gone with. But they take a totally different route, and it explains a lot of things after the fact. But we didn't. When we got there, we were like, "What the fuck are we even doing here?"
I think for me the biggest problem is that like this movie has a lot of things that it wants to do. And it's almost too much. It's almost like it's taking too many ideas and putting them all in this pot.
Because this is such a small concept.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I kind of get what you're saying. This Our review of this film right now is a testament to what this film is. It's so hard to... I don't think it knows what it is. I don't think we know what it is.
Yeah.
It's so confusing, and it's so hard to just peg it for, like, being a fucking great movie, a bad movie, the worst. It's so confusing. But I kind of wanted to go off of Manton's point and somebody else's. But, yeah, the music, again, going back to, like, the parts of this film, the music is so... It's punching way above the weight of this movie as a whole,
oh,
I think.
God, yeah.
To where, like, the opening credits scene could be a movie that's a Del Toro film, for all I fucking know. Like,
there's a great scene where we have a character just looking at books in the library, and it's some of the most haunting music I've ever heard.
Dope as fuck.
But nothing's happening.
Exactly. Yeah. And it does remind me of a Crimson Peak type of
opening.
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Opening or whatever, or fucking Don't Be Afraid of the Dark or what have you. But again, that's just one of the major things, the many things in this movie that just kind of stand out in a bad way against the rest of it.
Usually, like, there's an easy thing to point out as being the thing that sunk the movie, but there just isn't in this one. Like, I would say the script, except the, like, kind of small scenes between people are good. Like, the dialogue's usually pretty good in this movie, if you can hear it. But then there are, like, the big overarching things, like where the script's going, that doesn't make any sense. So I don't know.
It's a little all over the place. There is a lot of, like, cringeworthy dialogue. Like, there's a lot of parts.
But it feels like it's coming from the right people.
Exactly. I think there's a really smart writer behind this film, but I think sometimes he kind of gets ahead of himself and starts going and going and going, and, like, he wants to show how smart he is. But then the more, like, minute, silly, like, nonchalant conversations are the better parts of the script.
Right.
Which is
amazing.
The ones
that they try to get too, like, philosophical and,
which,
like,
is the stuff that we usually miss out on.
Ideological.
That's the only stuff that bothered me. Like, it's funny because a lot of the natural stuff felt very natural.
And it was
very
good.
So. And then the stuff that was supposed to be smart was like, they probably should just...
Not, I mean, like, we barely grazed over it, but, like, the practical effects in this are great. Like,
they are,
I was revolted at parts, like, in some of the surgical gore. And a lot of that has to do with what I find scary. I hate surgical gore.
But it's gross.
But it's really well done.
In regard, it was effective.
Yeah.
I mean, it was gross. It was disgusting. And you were uncomfortable watching. I mean, it worked.
I think something to really give this movie credit for is that it shows restraint.
Yeah.
I think that this movie easily could have delved into the whole, like,
I agree,
let's
have
zombies slashing people and, like, bad CG, whatever. This movie doesn't really is all about not showing you the bad guy or whatever.
Right,
and that really works in this movie.
And I think specifically why that works, which is going to be my next point, it's perfect that you brought that up, is that this movie, one thing that's very praiseworthy as well, is that it knows how to work within its budget. I don't think this movie had a high budget. And going back to the practical effects, what this movie did is, I would say 99% of the practical effects and the gore were aftermath gore, or, like, after the fact. Mm-hmm. You had bodies, you had parts, you had... And even to the point where
very convincing.
Yeah, you can hear somebody getting whipped in the back by an evil spirit, but they don't show it happening on screen. It's the lacerations and then a quick cut to the lacerations on the back.
Smart filmmaking. The sound.
It's just smart filmmaking. They know how to use their budget and their practical effect budget well.
I definitely love that you said that, because you can tell that they didn't feel confident in showing it. They're like, you know what? I can make it look great. I can make you believe it, but I can't show you how it's done. And that's cool.
Which, based on kind of where the story I think is going, makes sense. Like, it's justified in that. But then I think we all agree that was very strong.
You know what? Sorry, I'm kind of going backtracking a tiny bit, but that does remind me of Sleepaway Camp. I think that's what Sleepaway Camp did so well. They didn't have to show the gore on screen happening as it happened, but it was so effective in the aftermath.
Like the kid in the boat with the eel coming out of him?
Like,
or like
the kid that got stung by all the bees and shit. Like, they showed the bodies. They didn't have to show what actually happened. Very smart.
I don't want us to sound, like, hypocritical, because there's times where we're definitely like, you know, show me more, do it better.
Right.
But in this movie, what they did show us was so good that it's hard to even be mad about
and
it.
And I also
weird.
Think that we're understanding it, and I guess knowledgeable enough at this point to know that if they did try to show it would have been to its detriment.
It would have lowered the effect.
Yes.
Absolutely.
But obviously, we do like to see shit on screen.
Which is why I'm glad it wasn't going for, like, that walking zombie corpse sort of thing.
It would look
terrible. But at the same time, what it was going for, it just felt incomplete. So that's
where
I don't know.
This?
I don't know.
How do we
But I think
this?
We gotta try.
I think I've got it.
Okay.
So yeah, I'll go into my review.
Go for it.
This is a movie that I think it feels very, very different to other movies that we've seen.
Yeah.
It definitely was different to my expectations. I expected something along the lines of Splinter, like the last time. I think that there's like 2000s formula. And this movie doesn't really follow that formula.
Not really, no.
And I didn't expect that. I think because of how this movie made me feel, because this movie left me so conflicted, as far as to, like, do I like this? I'm going to go ahead and say that I think I will recommend this. I'm going to give it a gem. I think that this is something that's worth watching, even if just for the fact that it's a little different than your average 2000s horror film. Now, it doesn't look the part. It has that shitty filter. It looks like it's riding off the heels of The Matrix, like we talked about last time. It's got that shitty green or like lack of color, lack of contrast.
Not that bad, though.
It almost, I didn't notice some of the scenes almost subtle. Look black.
Also,
and white
I would never compare this movie to The Matrix in any way.
Well, we talked about it before. Like, this has this weird filter.
I didn't see that.
That 2000s filter. To me, it does. But anyways, I'm gonna go ahead and give it a gem because I think that this is worth a watch. I think that it's interesting enough that you won't be upset you watched mm-hmm. it.
Blutster.
I'm gonna go ahead and be just outright and say I'm gonna go ahead and give this a gem. I didn't love this movie, and I think when we were watching it, even the four of us started to get a little disengaged. But the fact that we're sitting here after the fact talking about it and learning new things from each other as we watch it is just a testament that this movie has things going on in it. And I know that we've recommended movies for way, way less than that.
True.
There's pieces of this movie that are just good. I mean, just technically good. I mean, the effects are great. The music's very just gripping and interesting. And there's definitely a lot of parts of this movie that I think could have changed. But I think that all this movie needed to be great was just a couple small scenes or maybe handheld the viewer just a little more in a couple spots. And I think it would have just been glorious. So I'm going to give it a gem. I mean, I'm gonna probably not forget this movie.
Yeah, I'll go into mine. I wouldn't use the word glorious for this movie. I don't think it could have been glorious, to be honest. I think it kind of had a low ceiling, and I think it reached that ceiling as well as it could have. But I don't know. I've been on a trajectory since the beginning of this podcast to where movies like this are starting to please me more and more. I'm starting to appreciate the things. This movie, I would use the word, I was more impressed with it than I think it's a good movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was impressive.
It exceeded expectations.
But again, I'm on a trajectory to where I can appreciate that. I am impressed by this movie, and therefore I would recommend this movie in a very, 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 very small fucking weird way. I don't know what scenario I ever would. But I'm inclined to give it a gem, even though I can't imagine a scenario where I'd recommend it because there's so many better movies out there. But for what this movie was, I imagine the budget was probably in the low millions, even. We're saying like low budget or whatever. It probably does have a couple $1 million budget at least. But it's still, this movie could have been way worse, and it probably should have been way worse, and it kept our attention, the four of us. And I was impressed by it. So for whatever reason, it's speaking to me to give it a gem. So I'm going to give it a gem and a very light one. What do you think, Dylan?
Yeah, I mean, fuck it. Exactly what they're saying here. Like, I don't know what I think about this movie, but the fact that I was interested in it enough to talk about it afterwards like this, I think makes it worth recommending. You may hate this movie. You may love this movie. I honestly don't know because I don't know what I think either. But that, you know, just in the fact that it's making me think, gem, sure.
What do you think, Blutster? Last words?
Well, I was just going to say, there's tons of movies where we've reviewed them and we just don't want to talk about them.
Yeah.
Like, even if they were better made than this movie,
this is almost the exact other end of the spectrum
of what we usually run into. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, this is one where we don't know what we feel about it, but we have to talk about it. Like, there's so many weird things that it's just like, how do we fucking talk about this? We know we have to.
To me, that's enough to recommend
for sure. Yeah, against the ones that are just like, I have no words for this.
You've got to form your own opinion about this one. Like, I'm not going to say that what we're saying is gospel.
It would be unfair for someone to just ignore this because we gave it stinkers.
This really demands a conversation in the weirdest way.
But I'd never heard about it. So, like, I hope you hear about it here and you see it and maybe you like it.
Please. All right, that's four gems, which is so funny
so
to me.
Strange.
Because
I
know
it.
More than you listeners out there, but the next movie we're going to talk about is not going to have the same treatment if I have any kind of foresight. But we're going to now talk about the 1976 film, I guess a classic in some ways in its own right, The Omen. Which, first off,
man.
Oh boy.
The slow one.
Oh boy. I want to first
ask. No. I'm not even going to give a synopsis. We're just going to go with Blutster's The Slow Man.
Oh no, I heard that earlier. Here we go. Good. First question, though, is this everybody's first time seeing this movie?
Yep.
Yes. Yep. Never seen it.
Very interesting.
I've never heard of
Virgins.
It.
I do know. I just remember my first thoughts of the, or memory of this movie is when on June 6, 2006, the Julia Stiles version came out, the remake. Oh, it was 666.
Really?
And that's when I first heard of what the Omen was. Or a thing.
You know, they had one chance to do that. Do you think that they held on to the fact that they were going to make an Omen remake? That's what's so 2006? Sad, because
apparently it was absolutely remarkably bad. Yeah. But I know that the Georgetown Drive-In, our local drive-in across the river in Indiana, did a double feature of the original and the remake.
Fuck, man, that's I cool. wish I'd been I more into would... horror movies
Dude,
at that point.
Yes. On 666, I know exactly what I was doing. I had my first, I had my first drink at a bar.
Fuck hell, yes.
That's
Satan.
Raw.
I was
hell
like, yeah. I was like 17.
Hell yes.
It was pretty cool.
Hell yeah. All right, anyway, we got to get into it. It's The Omen, recommended by whom, Dylan?
I don't know. What does it say? I can't read from
you
here.
You give us a synopsis, of course.
All right, I'll do it. I'll do it. The Omen from 1976 was recommended by LD.
Oh, good old LD.
I have no idea.
I don't know who that is.
LD Smash from The Simpsons.
Yeah, Lieutenant Smash. LT Smash.
Yes.
Oh, shit, right. That's a spoiler for
Lieutenant
that episode.
Lieutenant LT Smash.
This is The Omen from 1976. You've probably heard about it. I've heard plenty about it. I've seen scenes from it, but I've never actually seen the movie. Mm-hmm. This came out, I'm guessing, is this like the same year as The Exorcist?
No, Exorcist. Jesus. The Exorcist was 73.
Oh, okay. So a couple years off The Exorcist, near Rosemary's Baby. This is a very like definitive kind of style that they're going for in the 70s, yeah. The satanic possession sort of thing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We have a politician. What is his first name? Thorne?
It is Thomas Thorne?
Thomas Thorne, I think. Thomas Thorne, played by Gregory Peck, and his wife, they are living
Catherine.
In Rome, and they
Robert
Thorne, I'm sorry. And they have a baby named Damien, and then they move to London because he is appointed the ambassador to London for the United States. They're living in a grand old house, and they keep getting visited by this priest who's trying to say, like, your wife's in danger. This is horrible. You have to get rid of him. And he's like, who's him? What's going on here? Now, if you know about this movie, you know Damien is the fucking Antichrist. Like, no spoilers here. It's pretty
not
much
at all.
Built up. So he has the Antichrist, whether or not it's his kid or not, and where he came from is the mystery that they're trying to get to. And people who are trying to stop Damien are getting offed in various ways one by one as we go along. And how far is this father willing to go to end the influence of Satan?
Yep. One thing that Dylan, that I think you maybe forgot, because it was very at the beginning of the movie, but
right.
One pivotal scene is that he is, Gregory Peck is distraught. He goes to a priest. I don't know why they meet, but he goes to a priest and says, you know, he's dead, my son is dead. And so
yeah. Oh, I did forget about
he's
that.
Like, oh, my wife just gave birth and the child died. And so he adopted another baby the same night.
Okay.
Swapped it out with his kid and is like, hey, baby.
And
something
hey,
to
honey.
Point out is it wasn't even night. It was June 6th at 6 a.m.
Yes.
So it was 666.
So what happened
pretty
was,
cheesy, but...
if I'm not mistaken, what happened was their kid died in childbirth or, mm-hmm. or post-childbirth.
Yeah.
And then a mother died in childbirth at the same time. So they said, did the old switcheroo.
Basically.
And said, we're going to give you this kid. You're
going
to
have a free kid.
It's a little weird, but it's also, I mean, I was like, this is kind of
okay.
sweet in a way.
And
yeah,
you can see
it's
the motivation.
Sweet, but, you know, you could tell the husband, Robert Thorne, knew his wife, Catherine, wanted this child and didn't give a fuck in the whole thing. I think the priest even said, like, if there's any resemblance to the mother or you, then that'll be a blessing from God. Like, just
yeah.
let this happen. Let's make this work. So he brings in the kid and says, here's your son. That's the end of the
yeah.
beginning of it. So
yeah,
like
they
yes
go to Rome. Yeah.
They refused to let their son die in childbirth, so they did whatever he did, Robert did whatever he could to make sure they had a child, and that's what happened, and that's Damien.
Before we get
good
too
job,
far
Robert.
Past I wanted
damn.
To I really wanted to bring up the opening credit sequence of this movie. It is so fucking cool, like the music in this and the imagery, this like sort of graphic of Damien standing and casting this cross shadow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just that perfect 70s satanic feel, and I absolutely fucking
love it. That's why the
70s
it. Fucking rip.
And it didn't look cheesy at all. I thought the opening was raw.
I mean, it's the same sort of thing that like The Conjuring models itself after.
Absolutely.
And
yeah,
there's a reason
yeah.
it still works.
And to be fair, this movie, we should get into the actual like plot points and shit, but this movie, again, you can't deny it's derivative of as hell. Even from being as early as 76, but it's definitely got some influence from The Exorcist and Rosemary's Baby, among other things. But otherwise, I think this movie also, I think other movies after this are derivative of it in certain points.
That's exactly what I want to talk about. So I want to give credit where credit's due to. I'm pretty sure
The Shining?
I'm pretty sure The Shining took influence
absolutely.
In this movie because I hate to say this because I love The
Shining. That's one of your favorite movies.
The Shining is one of my favorite movies, but the scenes where the kid in The Shining is riding his bike.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There's almost the exact same scene, Damien riding his bike, and even the children are similar.
That struck me immediately when I saw that.
The second you see it.
Yeah, I would be willing to bet that Kubrick saw The Omen because it was a big movie.
Sure.
And I'm not saying whether it was conscious or subconscious, but I bet that scene just kind of stuck in his head.
If I remember, that's not even in the book. Like
they even feel the same. Like the second I saw the scene, I'm like,
and the camera shot's the same.
Shining.
It kind of follows the kid, and Damien looks dead up like our old boy.
Danny.
So you can definitely tell this movie has influenced other movies, other art, and things like that. I mean, it's definitely got some.
It's
power.
Been influenced and it influences, but that's the fucking nature of film. I don't give a fuck.
It is okay. But like I the whole time I was watching this, like I recognize what's good about this movie on its own merits. I think it's really well directed.
Yeah.
And I think that the music is fucking killer. I love the soundtrack
to
this movie.
It's too good.
But like the whole time I was just like, I'd rather be watching The Exorcist, and I never shook that at any point in this movie.
Yeah, I felt the same. I know you guys probably don't agree with this, but one of the main things that bothered me in this movie is that you watch the opening scene. You know the setup. We know the date and time and everything. And you basically, from the beginning, know what you're getting into.
That's a big knock.
Whether you know the movie or not. And then they spend the next hour and a half explaining everything that you already know, unfortunately.
It's a case of having way too much information as the audience compared to what the people involved know, what the characters know.
It definitely does. I think, it comes to a head when there was a scene, and it's like almost, I think, past the halfway point, where they're still trying to convince Gregory Peck's character
that
you're a child of Satan. It's like, dude, every single fucking supernatural satanic thing in the book is happening. Everyone's dying around you, and you still don't believe he's your father.
It's obnoxious at a certain point.
I'm going to play Devin's advocate here and say that if this were your son or adopted son or whatever, I think you'd do the same thing. And also, I want to make the point that The Exorcist did the same thing, where you're literally watching a girl spin her head around and puke green blood, and the mom's still saying it might be psychological.
I'm not even a huge fan of The Exorcist, so that can't even be used against me. But I do think that, like, the problem, I think Brandon nailed it, which is that, as the audience, we know so much. The whole time we're just saying, come on, Gregory,
let's go. There's no dramatic irony.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, and I think another big, and I hate to keep comparing it to The Exorcist, but this movie deserves to be compared to The Exorcist because it's ripping the fuck out of The Exorcist. Like,
plus
for better or
for
worse. Same time period, operating on the same fears.
Oh, for sure, absolutely.
The thing that The Exorcist does that this movie doesn't, that I think is crucial in why I don't like this one nearly as much, is that it does not have a very identifiable character in Damien. And that in The Exorcist, you have Reagan, and you feel fucking terrible for her because the kid's a great actor.
Yeah, she's a sweet kid.
Because they focus on her a lot, and because you understand how the mom and her might interact. Gregory Peck and Damien have like maybe 5 scenes together in this movie.
Well,
and I don't give a shit.
I also don't
about
think
Damien.
That was their angle. I don't think you're supposed to sympathize for Damien to where you're supposed to sympathize with
Reagan.
Certainly,
but
that
I would have liked that gray area because then
I had
nothing else to grab onto.
I agree with you, but I do want to make the point that they weren't trying to go that angle.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to add a dissenting opinion on that. Like, I really liked this aspect of the movie that you hear the phrase Antichrist, and you don't really think about that literally. In this movie, it is literally like the son of Satan born just like Jesus. It's the anti-Jesus. And I think that something about that works for me on such an interesting level that it doesn't in The Exorcist. Because I don't remember exactly what I said in my Exorcist review, but I'm not huge on The Exorcist. I don't know if I gave it a stinker or not.
I
might have.
You did.
Honestly,
not.
I find The Exorcist a bit dull.
You are the Antichrist.
Anyways, my point is that like I side with Devin on this, is that I don't think we're meant to identify with Damien. Damien is literally the devil in human form.
Right.
And I do think we're supposed
to... He's not possessed. He's just the devil.
We're supposed to identify more with Gregory Peck. I'll never remember his character's name. I don't care. Robert Thorne. I think we're supposed to identify with him, but I will say that I didn't really all the way. He's kind of somewhat comes across a bit pompous, like kind of a dick.
Strong presence, though.
Yeah.
No, he's very good at his role.
He's very much acting.
No, that's exactly what I want to talk about. Because, like, you know, we were talking about, we're not supposed to like this kid. Cool. The mom, she's kind of a non-character.
She's barely in it.
Gregory Peck is what we're supposed to grab onto. And I think it's just me, but I have this weird relationship with old male actors. Like,
what?
Whoa.
Local actors or like?
I just find them so sexy. No, let me just be clear. Like, There's a certain acting style that was very prominent back in this day.
I love it.
He is the almost emotionless, strong male, and he's going to dominate the scene. Yeah. I am a powerful businessman, and I'm going to get the promotion.
And to be fair, he's good as shit at what he's doing. I mean, if you've ever seen To Kill a Mockingbird, he's fucking amazing.
Right. I'm sure he's good. Like, and you can tell that he is the star.
But yeah, in this one, I agree. In this one, it's just like, him doing the 70s right there. Like, that's the 70s style. You see it in Network. You see it in all sorts of shit. Like, it's just I'm the man in this scene.
It just feels like he's the male ideal of the 50s and the 60s. Like, I don't know. It's just, I don't connect to him.
It's a bit boring.
And I don't care about him, unfortunately.
And that's some of the issue, too, is that, like, the detective work, the things going on, I don't really grab onto because, like, I know the answer to them already. In The Exorcist, it's a fucking mystery. This is horrifying shit that's happening, and God knows where it's coming from. In this one, it's the devil, dude. Like, kill him with a weird knife or whatever.
I will say that I think this movie worked for me on a level that The Exorcist didn't.
Blasphemy.
In The Exorcist, I had such a hard time sort of identifying with the fear and with the scares and stuff because it was so literal. It was so in your face with the possession. In this movie, I appreciated that the kills and the things that were happening
that is true.
Were so like out of frame, both literally and, you know, through its storytelling. Like, there's a lot of cool like foreshadowing of like character deaths that we see through a photographer character,
which is
who
really
is like
cool.
Sort of capturing the future essentially, and there's a really cool plot motivation for him later on. But I really like the fact that like all of these kills, all these deaths could be naturally explained. All
right, perfect time to interject with this little story I got online. So this movie had changed its name from The Antichrist to The Birthmark. I'm reading this off my phone, by the way, listeners out there. The film seemed to fall victim to a sinister curse. Star Gregory Peck and screenwriter David Seltzer took separate planes to the UK, and both planes were struck by lightning. While producer Harvey Bernard was in Rome, lightning just missed him. Rottweilers hired for the film attacked their trainers. A hotel at which director Richard Donner was staying at got bombed by the IRA, he was struck by a car after that.
Jesus.
After Peck canceled another flight to Israel, the plane he would have been on crashed, killing everybody on board.
Holy shit.
On day one of the shoots, several principal members of the crew survived a head-on car crash, and the jinx appeared to persist well into post-production because when special effects artist John Richardson was injured and his girlfriend was beheaded in an accident on the set of A Bridge Too Far, which was a year after this film.
Wow.
And that's the thing, though, is that for all like satanic possession movies, I feel like we hear exactly those stories.
Yeah.
I don't know what, you know, if it's actually the devil, like, I'm like, he doesn't want to be on screen or something. That seems kind of counterintuitive. But I don't know. Like, you hear that about The Exorcist. You hear that about Rosemary's Baby, too. And like, it all adds
Rosemary
to like the
Baby too.
No, she has another one. She's like, maybe this time.
This time will work. Jesus.
But it adds to the mystique around it. And there's like a lot of mystique around this movie going into it. I sort of The Omen, and I'm like, I've heard of those curses. I'm like, this could be cool. And I'm just like, okay, that was a movie. I don't know.
I'm a little bit different than that. I do agree with you.
It's good.
It was underwhelming, but I wouldn't say it's okay. I wouldn't even say it's fine. I would say it is good. I think it's really good. I'm not blown away by it, but I just kind of want to kind of add my point in there. I don't think it's good or fine or whatever. I think it's actually legitimately good. Excuse me. I do think it's good. I don't think it's just like passing. But what are you going to say, Manton?
I wanted to address the concerns of the slowness, the pacing of this movie. I personally was ready to be bored to tears.
Me too.
I was absolutely ready to be bored to tears. And I did fall asleep during this movie, but I actually found the pacing to be really good.
I actually think the pacing's fine.
I think
I don't have a problem
this movie is 2 hours long, but it didn't feel it to me. And this movie pretty much flew by.
I need to drag the demon out of Bluester because I know he has issues with this movie. And one of the major things he said that he thought it was boring. And I can understand why people wouldn't like this movie. But one reason I wouldn't believe is that it's boring because I don't think it's a boring movie.
I just don't understand how to even counterpoint that because I was not ready to be bored in this movie. I went in and I loved the intro, looked raw, tight. And then we watched the movie for 20 minutes. Nothing happens. I'm like, okay.
No, something does happen in 20 minutes.
It happens. It's incredible.
Let me clarify this. He wrote in chat, please murder me, The Omen, murder Mr. Me.
Murder Mr. Oh, typo, me.
And full disclosure, it took me 3 sittings to watch this movie.
That's ridiculous because this movie, A, is not that long, 2 hours maybe, but B, when you, I have to call you out on saying nothing happens in the first 20 minutes or whatever. Yes, something does happen. It's, like, and it's iconic.
It's like minute 17. It's almost 20 minutes.
It's huge.
It's all for you. And it's a really good scene.
It's a scene that with a noose involved, which everybody has probably seen if you're a horror fan. And it's incredible. And from there, I don't think it slows down too much. I think at least they portion out their spooks and their surprise as well.
I don't think that it slows down too much. I don't think that's the issue. The issue is still that you know everything. And it has nothing to surprise you with. That's my
issue. But you don't know how it's going to turn out, how things unfold.
True. Blister still needs to tell us.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So, like, I feel like we're all saying similar things. I just took them differently. Yeah. Like, I'll agree that things happen in this movie. It's not like nothing's happening.
Yeah.
This movie is crafted by some talented people. They're not going to just let bullshit happen on the screen.
Director of the Goonies.
He did the Goonies.
What, really?
Yeah.
What?
Well, also the Goonies Superman. Was raw.
And the Lethal Weapon.
Superman.
Wait,
Lethal
Richard
Weapon?
Donner did Lethal Weapon?
I think so.
That can't be right.
Holy shit. Well, this movie, no, that sounds right.
He started off with a stink bomb.
I'm pretty sure.
Anyway, I'm just kidding. So the problem that I have, and the reason I think this movie is, I don't know if it's slow or it just bored me, is that I didn't really care about any of these people. And then so you would latch onto the mystery. But there is really no mystery. They've, like, done everything in their power to show you that you know what this kid is, you know his relationship, and it's almost like we're just waiting for Gregory Peck to be convinced and for him to do something about it.
Yeah.
And so the whole time,
tedious.
He unveils a new piece of the mystery, I'm like, okay.
I don't think every movie needs to have a fucking mystery. I think the mystery is, how is it going to unfold?
That's fine with me. But they make that the whole point of the movie.
They do play it like there's a mystery.
Yeah.
Gregory Peck
and
is
we're
like,
watching
oh,
him,
what? He's a demon?
We're watching him. The mystery is whether he's going to decide whether this is his son or whether he fucking kills him.
Part of, like, the part where that all came to a head for me was they go to find, like, the records of the hospital or whatever, and it's burned down. And one of the people there says, like, oh, see, there is a man who was not, or who was burned, but he lived, or whatever, and they go to see him, and the whole, like, dramatic bum 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 moment is that they see that he's burned. I'm like, no shit, he's burned. You literally just learned that. And it's a lot of those moments where it's like, yes, I know this information.
So,
like,
wait, what's the mystery in The Exorcist then that you would, like, stack against this?
With that one, it's less of a mystery, it's more of like a procedural, like, how the fuck do we get this demon out
of here?
That's
what I was saying. That's my argument for this.
I would disagree.
We know this is Satan.
In this one, they say stab him with a knife pretty fucking early, and then it takes him a long time to get the knife.
That's actually late. So we've talked about The Exorcist a lot. We've talked about The Exorcist a lot. What I said in my review of The Exorcist and why I would rank it higher than this is that in The Exorcist, you have a lot of weird demonic shit happening towards the end, and throughout the movie, there's always this. It's just like in The Conjuring, like, is this family trying to trick us? Like, did they... You know, is she just mentally insane? Is she having some, you know, family problems? Like, there's a lot of other drama outside of the weird spiritual elements that this movie lacks. Like, clearly it's spiritual.
I very much disagree, and I have to interject to say that that's not what The Exorcist does. The Exorcist,
you
are not wondering if that's a hoax ever.
No.
What you're wondering is if there's a scientific answer or a spiritual answer.
What I think Blister's saying
is mostly
there's human drama outside of it too, rather than just the drama of, like, the spooky ghosty demon Satan, whatever.
Right.
And this one, I would have to say, I think that is my big knock on this movie, is that I don't find the human drama in this
Absolutely.
One very compelling.
And I would agree.
I think that the human drama in The Exorcist is fantastic. And I think that's one of the things that keeps you watching even when you already know what's going on.
And The Exorcist,
and this just doesn't have that.
Is far, far better than this movie. And
True.
We're going to fucking wrap this one up. I never want to make that point that I think The Omen is even in the same fucking league as The Exorcist. But I do think there are some comparisons to be made, and they have to be made and brought up. But with that, I will say this movie is, and I think Dylan said this in chat, and I said it to a friend while watching it, the exact words, a poor man's Exorcist.
Oh, yeah.
And that is what it is. This movie came out 3 years off of the heels of The Exorcist, so naturally, they knew it was successful. They knew what William Friedkin was able to do, and they said, maybe I can do the same thing. But what's ironic and weird about it is that it wasn't a shitty, shitty cash grab. There's talent.
I agree.
And there's good stuff. So if you watch this without trying to compare it with The Exorcist, and I don't blame you, Dylan, if you can't do it, because it was hard for me to do, as, again, I'm a huge fan of that film, The Exorcist. But if you can kind of disinterest it from The Exorcist and just watch it on its own, it is a good movie. And I'm going to say that again. It's not fine. It's not passable. This is a good movie, and it's a good 70s flick. And I love me some 70s fucking demonic possession, whatever the fuck kind of movie it is. And this is a good movie, and I would absolutely recommend it to horror fans and non-horror fans. It was better than I expected. I was ready for something to bore me to tears, and it was not boring. It was fun. It was entertaining, and it was cool, and I think iconic still. So it's a gem for me. Not the strongest of gems, but it's definitely a gem, but I need to hear Blutster fucking talk about it.
So when I went into this movie, I was ready. Like, I didn't know anything about this movie. I'd never seen any stills from it. I'd never seen any crazy scenes. I just knew The Omen. I'd seen the box art. I was like, fuck yes. Started it out. Intro got me hard. I was ready.
You got hard?
I was narded up. I had a beer in hand. God, it couldn't have been better. It was, the house was still as just anything. Quiet. I was ready to go. And I could not even get through a third of this movie. Like, this movie feels every single day of age since it was released. This movie is an old movie, and fuck, it lets you know from the second you see Gregory Peck just try to have some emotion with his stone face, and he has this grimace on his face. When he's happy, he has a grimace. When his son is a demon, he has a grimace. Boy. When something happens in his family later on, he has a grimace. And I got a grimace, and I started feeling sad. And we keep talking about The Exorcist. I don't want to talk about The Exorcist.
We shouldn't.
I just want to say that this movie was missing things that I think maybe some of its counterparts did a little better. And if the whole movie is going to be the main character unraveling what's happening with his son, we shouldn't, as the audience, know exactly what it is the second the opening scene ends. So I feel like I'm watching a procedural mystery, and I already knew what it was. And so I wanted to give credit where credit's due, though. There is lots of talent in this movie. There's lots of cool musical scores, great sound effects. Like, Kelsey was just enamored with the sound effects in this movie.
Yeah, so good. Excellent.
Amazing. Beautiful locales. And they do a lot of very cool things with imagery in this movie and just camera work. But none of that could have saved this movie for me, and I would never watch this again. This is an absolute stinker.
Whoa, damn. Absolute stinker.
I like it.
Damn, the whole time I thought you were going to give it a light single. You gave it the old absolute. Absolute stinker. All right, we're moving on to Dylan. What's up?
I mean, Blooster's wrong in that it's an absolute stinker. No, this movie's not bad. It's a very good movie, but it just didn't kind of hit the mark that I was asking it to, and that is my issue with it. I will go ahead and front load this and say, yeah, I think this is a gem, but it's a gem with some major, major flaws. One of them that Blooster's saying is that, yeah, it's a mystery that you've solved at the beginning, and then it just keeps stringing you out, and it's really confusing why it's doing that. But to me, the thing is that this feels almost like, Devin says it's not a cash cow, and it's not. That's not fair, but it feels like a studio's answer to The Exorcist. It feels like they saw all the things that worked in The Exorcist and said, let's do those.
Absolutely.
And they don't do them all as well as The Exorcist, and some of them they shouldn't have done given what they were trying to do. So this is kind of almost a more soulless experience compared to The Exorcist, and that's where I can't quite fully recommend it. Yeah, Jim, but there's some major issues.
I'm surprised you gave it to Jim, Dilly.
Yeah. All right, what do you think, Manton?
You guys tell me, should I do my review without mentioning The Exorcist, or should I mention
The Exorcist? Mention The Exorcist. Don't
mention it if you need to, man.
All right, whatever.
No, just give me a vote.
Say whatever you want.
All right, I will mention The Exorcist.
That's fucking paralyzing for him.
Oh, boy.
So, I'm not a huge fan of The Exorcist. I don't know what it is. I know that movie is very, very, very good technically. But I just can't really get into it. The first time I watched it, I felt a bit bored. Second and third time, I still thought it was kind of dull. I don't know what it is.
Big Dog, you gave that thing a gem.
You definitely did.
You absolutely gave
it a gem. We should go
back.
I don't know. But anyway, my point is, like, I do find that movie a bit dull. This movie, I actually quite liked. I really liked The Omen. I don't know if I could exactly tell you why. I don't know if I can say all the exact reasons, but this movie hit the right notes for me. Something about the way this movie does its satanic feel, something about the way this movie does its kills, the way it does its foreshadowing, its imagery, like Brandon said, the music, the sound, all of that comes together for me so well. And for that reason, I find this movie quite enjoyable, and I would watch it again.
Sure.
So I am going to give it a gem. I would say that I understand it's not, as far as the 70s Satan genre goes, it's not The Exorcist in a technical sense. But for some reason, this movie did it for me, and I didn't find myself bored. So yeah, it's a gem.
You know what's funny? Oh, sorry, Dylan.
I was just going to say, man, you'll be pleased to know that the third Omen movie has Sam Neill as Damien grown up.
Jesus, I got to watch it.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, I was going to say, listening to your synopsis or whatever it was, you deconstructing The Exorcist briefly, William Friedkin was a Oscar-winning director. He did, The French Connection? And then he also was nominated for this film. But his thoughts on The Exorcist almost kind of, like, parallel yours. Like, when I've read about it, at least. I'm just kind of trusting whatever I had read. But apparently William Friedkin, when asked about The Exorcist, he's just like, oh, whatever, that fucking horror thing I did, like, whatever. So it almost, like, I feel like the way you talk about it, it's the way, like, he felt about it. Like, yeah, it was fine. It was, like, good. I know it's good, but I don't give a fuck about it.
That's pretty much
how
I
feel. He's fucking crazy.
Yeah, he's insane. But, yeah, he made a really great film. Obviously, I disagree with that, but I heard he's a prick about it, and I heard he doesn't give any fuck all about the horror genre, so fuck him. But
thanks for The Exorcist.
But thanks for The Exorcist.
Thanks, buddy.
Good flick. He's still alive, by the way. Make
Is
another
really?
One.
Jesus.
Yeah.
He could be listening to this.
He might be
How does
our
that
next
make
guest.
You feel?
He could be a Patreon fucking subscriber.
Maybe, he's,
maybe
the person,
he's LD.
Maybe he's LD.
Oh, my God.
Little
he's
Damien.
Like, here's a better version of that movie that I made.
Little Damien.
Little Damien.
Oh, boy. All right, guys. We're not going to wrap it up completely right now. We got a game to play before we wrap up completely. But the game, the way it works is we're going to have some IMDb reviews. IMDb.
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 IMDb. Oh, I was DV.
Oh, boy.
This is so fucking dumb.
Bad Tim and Eric reference, untimely. But we're going to give you an IMDb user review of these three films. One will be for the pertinent film that you chose, listener, and one will be for a completely random one that's going to shit on it. You're going to be listening to reviews that shit on what you made us watch. So,
we already do that.
Here we go. The first one we're going to talk about is chronologically The Perfect Host. So here's two reviews. Tell me which one is for The Perfect Host. Number one, is this supposed to be scary? What's the point? That's the first review.
Aww.
Number two, ever felt like you were being lured into watching a crap fest?
Every week. Every three times a week.
I think there's a review for our podcast.
Three times a week. Exactly. Oh, boy. What do you think, Manton?
I'm going number two.
What do you say? You're going number two right now?
God, come on, man. Manton. A little decorum.
He's at least positive.
He's depends.
You don't even smell it. Don't worry.
That's a poo-poo joke. What do you think, Dylan?
I think number one, because this person did not understand what this movie was going for.
Maybe. Sure. What do you think, Bloodstorm?
This is the tiebreaker vote. We got one for one and one for two.
Oh, get over yourself.
I'm going to go for two.
It is number one.
Hey.
Oh, fuck.
Number two is for The Host.
Oh.
All right. Which Close. Is the Korean monster film.
They call that a crap fest?
I guess so.
Fuck.
Did you guys review that?
Yeah, yeah. We reviewed it.
I don't think
it.
I was Dope on that episode. Plug.
You weren't on the Kaiju episode?
Yes, you were.
Was I?
Yes, you were.
Yeah, we watched the original Godzilla.
I was on that, guys.
Well, I watched some other kind of Godzilla.
You watched the other. You watched the Gregory Peck edition of Godzilla.
Oh, I guess I just didn't rewatch The Host. Anyway, whatever. The next one's going to be for
Unrest.
Unrest. Thank you. Thank you, Bluester.
Are you actually looking at, are you cheating?
Hey, how do you know this, Bluester?
I just remember the order of what
he remembers a movie we talked about less than 20 minutes
or
ago.
Or a cheater. Either a cheater or a genius.
Good
or
job.
He has a memory.
All right. First review. I am literally embarrassed for the producers.
I can see that.
Number two. Don't pass your time on this one. Don't even pass gas on this one.
Damn, that's pertinent because there's a lot of fart jokes in this movie.
Farts in that.
And I liked them.
We didn't even talk about the best
we did.
Fart jokes.
There's some fart jokes in
that's
that
how
movie.
Mature
there
we are.
There was some either unintentional or very
I'm
intentional fart jokes.
I'm not convinced that the shower one was actually
Can
a
I
fart
just
joke.
Say that we were watching this movie and we literally rewound it to try and make sure it was a fart joke or
well,
not.
Well, because you were cackling like a
she's,
fucking
she's
madman.
She's sitting on the
I
toilet.
I laughed my ass off too because...
Thank you, Devin.
To this movie's discredit, if it wasn't intentional, then they fucked up because she's literally sitting on a toilet and you hear a fart sound.
It's dead silent and she's like creeped over on the John and you just hear I'm like
it's
that
supposed to, it's supposed to be a shower turning on next to her but it just sounds like
that.
A loud
and she even
pitch.
Has like this ooh, embarrassed look on her face
way, it was turning
we all
me
laughed
on.
Our asses off
alright what do you think Manton
I don't even remember
this. I don't yeah I'll go number two though anyway
alright what do you think Dylan
yeah number two
what do you think Bluester
I'm gonna go with one because I feel like you could say that about the people that made this they should be embarrassed maybe
it is number two
whoa
and to be
somebody
fair
somebody stop me
I didn't see the movie when I grabbed this one yet when I grabbed the reviews so I if I had seen that and made the connection
with the fart thing
of the fart
so
thing,
funny
I wouldn't have chose it but the first one's for Grave Encounters 2
oh I would
oh,
be embarrassed
boy.
Yeah
but, I want to do a Grave Encounters cast one day. One,
are
two,
there,
and three.
Are there a third one?
I'm sure there is.
Oh,
there's got to be.
There is. There
I bet
is.
There is. Yeah.
Gravely
I bet
encountered.
There's a four.
It's probably six. All right. We're going to talk about now The Omen. I'm going to give you the first one reviews as we listen to the soothing sounds of Manton's mechanical keyboard.
It's okay. Just ignore it.
Just ignore it. Just ignore it. How many are there, Manton? Give us the.
There's at least
I'm
three.
Working on it. I'm working on
I
it.
I wish we had a fucking intern. Like, hey, can you look us up, Cody?
Maybe we'll get an intern with some of this Patreon money.
Absolutely.
Oh, no, the internet quit working.
No, interns, though, it means that we're not paying them. You're fucking doing this for free, motherfucker.
Well, no, I mean, we would use that money to, like, buy lunch and just eat it in front of Cody.
Sorry, Cody.
Cody, I'm so sorry. I know you're hungry. What do we got? Grave Encounters 2?
Oh, is there
just
two,
I think,
three?
Yeah.
There's no three.
There's a three right here.
What
Grave Encounters 3 official trailer.
Oh, boy.
What?
Oh, maybe it's not out yet.
The Vicious Brothers announced completion of Grave Encounters 3.
The Vicious Brothers?
Ooh,
that's Vicious.
They sound like pickup artists. Jesus.
Okay, yeah, this is actually fresh. This is the last year.
Hold on, wait. Grave Encounters 4 horror movie part 1. So you can illegally download it, but we don't know if it really exists
or
not.
We're jumping to 4 now?
Oh, my God.
They just want to get to 6 as fast as possible.
God bless. We got to do a Grave Encounters cast. Also, Purge. Can't wait for that one. But, we got to talk about this fucking lat. We're literally,
I promise
you, we're going to wrap up. Listeners, I'm so sorry. I know you want to fucking stop listening to our shitty voices. Number one, bad films date. Don't watch this.
What?
Life is short. I'll be dead soon. That's pretty good.
I like that a lot.
Number two, it's just garbage. Cheap, nasty, exploitative garbage and a classic in no way whatsoever.
It's one. It's the first one.
You say
one. I just resonate too much with that review.
Hi, Dylan.
Gotta say two, actually. I feel like this is like some concerned mother who's writing that. Like,
I could see that.
Cheap exploitative.
There's two.
Satan
many
is
kills.
In this movie. What?
Manton.
I think two might be for The Exorcist, so I'm gonna go with one.
It is two. Oh,
fuck
What's
me.
Up? Undefeated.
Two. I think people had all kinds of issues with like the kid being like the enemy and shit. Like they were like, this
kid was a shitty little actor.
This encourages violence against children and shit like that.
Fuck kids.
And exploitative this movie is not for sure. I don't understand that.
It's
but
pretty reserved.
The first
actually.
One yeah. The first one does make so much sense for Bloodster to pick because that's pretty much exactly what
I
you
still
thought.
Agree with it. That's definitely
I'm going
the right
to
route.
Die
but,
soon.
But your defense that movie is for The Omen 2, which I have not seen. It's called Damien Omen 2.
Why? That's stupid.
I mean,
because his name's Damien.
It's kind of like sounds
Did
like
you
Damien.
Not gather that?
There's a I don't know if Dying, you guys man. Know. There's a video game called Lucius, and it's essentially you basically play as Damien, and you go around like killing people in secretive ways with like weird objects around the house. It's pretty cool.
I don't think he was very secretive. He just fucking ran into people with this goddamn tricycle.
Well, yeah.
And he's a kid.
Hey.
You know, sometimes kids will be kids.
Whoopsie daisy.
Oh, boy. Kids will be kids and the horrible boys will be boys. Is that a segue?
This is a perfect time.
Sure.
To just
we're
going to
wrap it up, guys. We're on Patreon.
I'll be dead soon.
And we will be dead soon. This is our Patreon episode, our listener submitted episode.
Thank you.
If you want to make us watch a movie, we would love for you to do that because we also love your money. $6.66 a month, and you can choose a movie for us to watch and review. Thank you guys to our three tonight, Mr. LD, Mr.
Dracula.
Chris, and Mr. What was the last one?
A Dracula.
A Dracula. Thank you, three, for the movie suggestions tonight. It was a fun podcast. Guys, we're on iTunes and Stitcher, so add us to that if you're not doing that. We're on email and Twitter, so email us and tweet at us. And on behalf of the sports podcast. On behalf of the horrible crew, thanks for listening and stay spooky.
Sports.
Sports.